Let's turn our Bibles, please, together for the scripture reading this morning in preparation for the message. And I have said this before, I do not apologize for any length of reading of the scriptures. We need, above all else, to hear the Word of God. And so Numbers chapter 13, I will read the last two or three verses of Numbers chapter 13, but just as a lead into chapter 14, which I'll read in your hearing, and we may not finish this message this morning, that'll be fine, but I do not want to cut short the reading of the scriptures for your apprehension, comprehension and understanding this morning. Numbers chapter 13, and we will read together verses 32 and then reading right on into chapter 14. And they brought up an evil report. This is the spies, of course, that were sent into the promised land, and they came back, the 12 of them. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched under the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants and the son of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God that we had died in this wilderness. Wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? They said one to another, Let us make a captain, and let us return into Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we passed through it to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But the congregation bade stone them with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, How long will this people provoke me? How long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have shown among them? I'll smite them with a pestilence and disinherit them and will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. Moses said unto the Lord, Then the Egyptians shall hear it. For thou broughtest up this people in thy might from among them. They'll tell it to the inhabitants of this land, for they have heard that Thou, Lord, art among this people, that Thou, Lord, art seen face to face, and that Thy cloud standeth over them, and that Thou goest before them by day thy time in a pillar of cloud and in a pillar of fire by night. Now if Thou shalt kill all this people as one man, then the nations which have heard the fame of Thee will speak, saying, Because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he sware unto them. Therefore, he has slain them in the wilderness. And now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great according as thou hast spoken, saying, the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children come to the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people according to the greatness of thy mercy. And as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now, the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and have tempted me now these 10 times and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he hath another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwelt in the valley. Tomorrow turn you and get you into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. The Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear this evil congregation which murmur against me? I've heard the murmurings of the children of Israel which they murmured against me. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness. And all that were numbered of you according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me, doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. But your little ones, which ye said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and the children of Israel shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear their whoredoms until their carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. And after the number of days in which ye search the land, even 40 days each day for a year, shall ye bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. I, the Lord, have said, I will surely do it unto all this evil congregation that are gathered together against me in this wilderness. They shall be consumed, and there shall they die. The men which Moses sent to search the land, who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up a slander upon the land, even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land, died by the plague before the Lord. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb, which were of the men that went to search the land, lived still. And Moses told these sayings unto all the children of Israel, and the people murmured greatly, and they rose up early in the morning and gat them up into the top of the mountain, saying, lo, we be here, and we'll go up to the place which the Lord hath promised, for we have sinned. And Moses said, wherefore now do ye transgress the commandment of the Lord? But it shall not prosper. Go not up, for the Lord is not among you, that ye be not smitten before your enemies. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and ye shall fall by the sword, because you are turned away from the Lord. Therefore, the Lord will not be with you. But they presumed to go up unto the hilltop. Nevertheless, the ark of the covenant of the Lord and Moses departed not out of the camp. Then the Amalekites came down, and the Canaanites which dwelt in that hill, and smote them, and discomfited them, even unto Hormah. God help us this morning in the study of His Word. Turn back with me now again, please, to Numbers for our message this morning, and chapter 14. We've come in our studies to this 14th chapter of the book of Numbers, and truly the Lord, I believe, has dealt with all of us in this series of messages. And I'm grateful to God that He has not left us to ourselves, but has brought His Word to convict us and to work in our hearts. We come now to this 14th chapter, that very familiar and often cited text, which records the results of Israel's sin of sending the spies to spy out the promised land. I showed you on last week from the book of Deuteronomy that was not, although God granted them and in fact sent them, it was not God's doings, it was Israel's doings. They wanted spies sent to check out the land, and God granted it to them. And I would like to treat this text, as same as I did the 13th chapter last week, by simply setting out these events in their chronology and then to draw from them the lessons that the Lord would have for us. You remember the evil report, which, by the way, was a lie, that came to Israel's ears in the mouths of these ten, there in verse 32 and 33 of chapter 13, they brought this evil report, the Bible calls it, from the spies. And when this report came to Israel's ears from these ten unbelieving spies, their likewise unbelieving reaction is recorded for us in chapter 14 and verse 1. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And as always, unbelief, whether it's in a people or in our own hearts, unbelief is very quickly and suddenly followed by mutiny against God. And of course, in this case, it was against God in the persons of His servants. Verse 2, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God we died in the land of Egypt, or would God we died in the wilderness. And so they turned in their mutiny against Moses and Aaron, because they have, in fact, mutiny against God. Notice the nature of their complaint, if you will. First of all, the first thing they said was, it had been better for us if we had never started this journey and died in Egypt. My goodness, what a statement. Sounds a lot like us sometimes, doesn't it? Would God, I've never started this journey. Have you ever been there in your Christian experience? Have you ever been in a place of unbelief and sin that you reached a point where you actually said to yourself, I would God, I've never made the profession. I wish I'd never started this journey. That's what Israel said. Would have been better if we had just died over there in Egypt. Of course, this statement denies the miracle of God. God had brought them out of Egypt by divine miracles. And a statement like this denies the miracles of God, denies the power of God to have brought them out of Egypt. And when we make such statements, we deny the power of God as well. Well, has the Scripture given us a biblical perspective on this attitude in the words of Psalm 73, "Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked, and there are no bonds in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain, violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than their heart could wish. They're corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walks through the earth." And the psalmist is struggling with the fact that these people are like that. They're wicked, and yet they're prosperous. They're fat, and they're happy, and everything seems to go well. And he said, "My heart was wrapped up in that." They say in verse 11, they say, "How does God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I've cleansed my heart in vain, and I've washed my hands in innocency." David reflects the attitude of Israel here. "Oh, I wasted my time. I should have never started this journey. I've cleansed my heart for nothing." Really? "For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I'll speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Until," verse 17, "until I went into the sanctuary of God. And then I understood therein." Israel said, "It would have been better if we died in Egypt." Really? Really? Oh, no. It's better that you not die in Egypt. Look at the second thing they said. "Since, unfortunately, we did begin," look at verse, at the end of verse 2 again, "or would God we died in this wilderness, since unfortunately we did leave Egypt where we had it so good." You remember the lie that they told in the previous text. Talked about how great it was in Israel, and oh, they had grapes, and they had all, they didn't have any of that. They had none of that. That was all wrong. But they said, "Well, since we've left Egypt already, and since we've gone from the land where we had it so good, it would have been better if we just died back there in the wilderness somewhere. I mean, we've been out here for 2 years wandering around, and it would have been better if we had just died before we got all the way up here to this land. It'd be better," in verse 3, "if we'd never come to this land. Wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land," verse 3, "to fall by the sword?" Well, since we've already got out of Egypt, it would have been better if we had just died out here and never saw that land. Really? Really? God would give them that land. Notice their third complaint, or their third proposition. "Let us choose our own leader." Verse 4, "And they said one to another, let us make a captain, and let us return to Egypt." Oh, listen to me, friend. When we forsake the lordship of Christ, our heart will choose another captain. We want a captain that will take us back to Egypt. Let us choose our own leader, presumably one who will take his orders from us and not from God.
I fear that there's many a pulpit filled with such a man. Many a pulpit in our own county filled with men that will take their orders from some man, from congregations and not from God. And they said, let us set our own agenda. We want to go back to Egypt. I remind you, God was listening. God was listening to all this talk. And I warn our own hearts, every one of us, when we find ourselves in such a state and talking such things, God's listening. Dr. Gill had this to say, I couldn't help but share it with you, when he said, when they said, let us return into Egypt. Dr. Gill said, which was downright madness. As some interpreters have justly observed, they must not only expect to be deserted by Moses by such a move, through whose means so many miracles have been wrought for them, and who has so wisely and faithfully been a governor to them, but also they must be deserted by Aaron their priest, who offered their sacrifices and prayed for them and blessed them. And also deserted by such a valiant general as Joshua, who had fought for them against their enemies. But by the Lord Himself they'll be deserted, so that they could not expect the manna to be continued as food for them, nor the pillar of cloud and fire as a guide to them, nor to be protected from their enemies on the borders of whose countries they must pass. So that their destruction in the wilderness seemed inevitable. And if they could have surmounted all of these and other difficulties, what manner of reception could they expect to find in Egypt? On whose account all the firstborn of man and beast among them were already dead, whom they had spoiled of their riches, and whose king and his army, and in it perhaps the flower of the nation, were drowned in the Red Sea for their sakes. What therefore could they think of if they had any sober thought at all but of utter ruin should they return to Egypt? And when I read those words, I'm sure you see with me the folly of this, and yet, my friend, is it not a mirror image of ourselves? How many's a time that through fear or doubt or whatever mechanism, we would turn back to Egypt. What folly are we engaged in? What foolishness, and in the words of Dr. Gill, what madness could drive us to such a thought, to go back to Egypt. But this is what Israel wished. And then in verse 5, Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. Well then, Moses and Aaron being like Christ, and being a type of Christ, they set themselves to plead with God and intercede on behalf of these wretched creatures. Peradventure God might turn their hearts yet and grant them repentance and mercy. Moses and Aaron, as I said, being as they are a type and a picture of the person of Christ, they see the apostasy of this congregation. They see the folly of their doings and the sin of their unbelief, and they fall on their knees and intercede. Oh God! They prayed for Israel. Oh, how like our Lord Jesus Christ. How like our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. This is what Israel was doing, opposing themselves. But the servant of God must be meek and try to instruct those that oppose himself. If peradventure God will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Moses and Aaron interceded for Israel. And now in verses 6 and 9, Joshua, even in the face of this mutinous and wild frenzy of unbelief, Joshua steps up to speak the truth for the will of God. Verse 6, and Joshua the son of Nun, Caleb, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes, and they spake to all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land we passed through to search it, it's an exceeding good land, and if the Lord delight in us, he will bring us into this land and give it to us, and the land flows with milk and honey. Only don't rebel against the Lord, neither fear the people for the land, for they are bread to us, their defense is departed from them, and the Lord's with us, fear them not. Joshua steps up and speaks to the people, and focuses. Notice what Joshua focuses on in his words. Joshua does not focus on the giants like the ten did. Joshua doesn't focus on the land as they did, but rather Joshua focuses on the Lord and says, if the Lord delights in us, we can have this land. Don't rebel. Don't rebel. Is it not true this morning? Is it not true of every one of us? Listen to me. Is it not true of us that the real problem when our feet slip and we find ourselves wanting to turn back to Egypt, is it not true that the real problem, the real simplicity of the matter is that we have ceased to look at the Lord and started to look at everything else? And Joshua said, forget about the giants. Forget about the giant. Forget about the land. Listen to me. The Lord will give us this land. If we'll just please Him and not depart from Him, He'll give us this land. It's simple, isn't it? But it's profound. We look often rather at our own agenda, our own wishes, our own fears, our own frustrations, our own designs and desires, and we're not looking at what God said. Isn't that right? How simple is that? And yet, how very often we are guilty of it ourselves. Matthew chapter 14 and verse 28. Peter answered and said, Lord, if thou bid me come unto thee in the water, and he said, come. When Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, boisterous, he was afraid. Beginning to sink, he cried, Lord, save me. How often do we in our own lives cease to see the Lord, and fear takes hold, and the next thing you know, we're sinking. But in verse 10, Israel's reaction to Joshua's speech was predictable. Unbelief is always predictable. Israel's reaction to Joshua's speech is predictable. They set out to stone him to death. Probably Joshua, it doesn't say here in the text, but probably Joshua, Moses, and Aaron, all three, they would have stoned them if they could have. But listen to me. Oh, hallelujah, listen. Just when it seemed that all would be lost, just when it seemed that unbelief would prevail, just when it seemed that there was no hope left, just when it seemed that there was nothing left to be done, but that the Israel would have their way, just at that moment of time, the Lord appeared. The Lord appeared to Israel. Oh, listen. Their reaction was predictable. And it was predictable what they would do, but they will not be allowed to do it because the congregation bade to stone them. But verse 11, and the Lord appeared, verse 10, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before the children of Israel. I can well imagine that they've already picked up the stones and it looks like it's over and it's done. And just about that time, God showed up. The Lord appeared. God came. Oh, hallelujah. What a timely appearance. What a timely deliverance. God has come and He will speak to the people. And I say to you that what we need in our hour is that God would come back and visit His people. Let me tell you, as you well know, I hope, I'm sure you do, the answer to the needs of the modern church is not a new program, it's not a new voice, it's not a new idea, it's not novelty, it's not some new expression, it's not some great new man. The answer to the need of the modern church is for God to come back and visit. Oh, hallelujah, when He comes. When He comes. All the voices of doubt are silenced. When He comes, everything changes. You remember how well the Scripture puts it for us in Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 31. Lamentations 3 and verse 31, for the Lord will not cast off forever, but though He cause grief, yet will He have compassion according to the multitude of His mercies. For He doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men. Verse 46, and all our enemies have opened their mouths against us. Fear and a snare has come upon us. Desolation and destruction. And my eyes run down with rivers for the destruction of the daughter of my people. And mine eye trickleth down and ceaseth not without any intercession till the Lord look down and behold from heaven. Hallelujah. Waters, He said, flowed over mine head. Then I said, I'm cut off, verse 44, and then verse 54, verse 55. I called upon the name of the Lord out of the low dungeon. I was down as low as I could get, and I called out to the Lord, and Thou hast heard my voice, and hid not thine ear from my breathing and my cry. Thou drewest near in the day that I called upon Thee. Thou saidest, fear not. O Lord, Thou hast pleaded the cause of my soul. Thou hast redeemed my life. O Lord, Thou hast seen my wrong. Judge my cause. Hallelujah. We get down low. Our sin, our doubt, our unbelief, our fear, our foolishness, our folly, our turning back. And we cry out to God. And God shows up. God shows up. Boy, I love that 10th verse. Hallelujah. The Lord appeared. The Lord appeared. And so God came. He heard. We've heard in this text this morning the sad, sick, unbelieving schemers. We heard in this text Moses and Aaron try to intercede for them. We've heard the blessed and noble Joshua stand with his proclamation. We've heard all of that. But now, we're going to hear the Lord. In verse 11, now every mouth is shut and every eye, verse 11, is on the Lord. The Lord said, Moses, how long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me? For all the signs which I've showed them, I'll smite them. I'll smite them. The pestilence, I'll disinherit them, and I'll make thee a greater nation. But Moses interceded. Moses interceded. Oh, listen to me. God came, and what did he have to say? He had a message of destruction. And my friend, let me tell you, I know that you probably know and already experienced when our hearts have turned away from the Lord. When our hearts have turned away from the Lord and we turn back to Egypt, God comes and speaks. And when he does, it's a message of destruction. He says, I'll destroy this people. I'll destroy this people. And oh, listen to me. That's what justice would do. That's what justice would do were it not for Moses. Moses cried out, oh God. He interceded for Israel. Our Moses intercedes to the Father. When he sees our backslidings, he hears our unbelief. He sees us turning back to Egypt. Our hearts are cold. And he would destroy us were it not for the intercession of our Moses. Moses intercedes, and I give you quickly the elements of his intercession. Here are the elements. Number one, he says, Lord, the Egyptians will hear it. The Egyptians will hear it. The ones that you saved them out of will hear it. Need I remind our hearts this morning that one of the greatest tragedies of our backslidings, one of the greatest tragedies of our unbelief, is that the world sees it. The world sees it. Moses says to the Lord, Lord, the Egyptians, verse 13, they'll hear it. You brought them out of there, and they're going to hear about this. Secondly, he says, they will tell the inhabitants of this land, they'll tell the inhabitants of this land, verse 14, they'll tell the inhabitants of this land, for they heard that thou, Lord, art among this people. You're going to affect the future of this people. They're going to tell the inhabitants of the land, the inhabitants of the land, the ones that you sent them to conquer, they're going to hear this. They already have fear and dread because of this message. They're going to hear now that you've destroyed them. And what's going to happen to that message? Let me tell you, one of the greatest tragedies of our loss of testimony is that we bring the gospel into disrepute. The greatest tragedies of our loss of testimony is that we bring the gospel into disrepute. They're going to hear it, he says. The inhabitants in the land where we're supposed to be going, they're going to hear it. And thirdly, listen to this. Oh, this is the big one. Verse 16. They're going to say the Lord was not able. Verse 16. Because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land. Oh, listen. The unbelievers look at us when we falter and clamor and fall on our faces and sin against God publicly and knowingly. The world looks on us and they say, I thought God could do. They said God could save them. They're going to say, Lord's not able. And Moses makes this intercession. Oh, they're going to say the Lord's not able and he's not merciful to this people like he said. But oh, let me share with you this morning, if I may, that this intercession was effectual. It worked. It was effectual. This intercession of Moses was effectual. He prayed in verse 19, "Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according to the greatness of thy mercy, and thou hast forgiven them from Egypt until now." Oh God, pardon them again. And the Lord said, verse 20, hallelujah, the Lord said, "It's done, pardon." Just like that. Isn't that amazing? In verse 20, verse 18, now from verse 18, you can just see Moses laying before God, crying out all this speech and pouring his heart out. And right as soon as he says amen in verse 19 and verse 20, he says, "The Lord said, I have pardoned." Hallelujah. I have pardoned. I say to you that the blood of Jesus Christ is effectual. It cannot fail. It will not fail. The intercession of the Lord Jesus, all those for whom He prays, it cannot fail. He will pardon them. Glory. Hallelujah. He will pardon them. The intercession of Moses was effectual, and I say to you that the intercession of our Lord Jesus Christ, it is effectual. How could any man preach or believe that the Lord Jesus could ask the Father for anything and the Father not give it? How could any man believe that? He said, "All them that the Father hath given to me shall come to me. And I will raise them up." Hallelujah. His intercession was effectual. But, there's a but in verse 21. But, oh my, I wish I could skip this part this morning. His intercession was effectual. But, as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, because those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, have tempted me now these 10 times, have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers. Neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. The whole earth will see it, he says. The whole earth will see what happens to those of my followers that trifle with my glory and disdain my mercy and violate my orders. The whole world will see what happens to them. Verse 27, they murmured against me. Verse 2 says they murmured against Moses and Aaron. You understand, when you murmur against the servant of God, you murmur against God Himself. Did you notice that in verse 27 and verse 2? Well, what's the price to be paid? Verse 28. Oh, Lord, listen to this. Here's the price that's to be paid. They shall not see it. Verse 29, your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness. The whole world is going to see what happens to those that trifle with God. What's the price to be paid? Here it is. Verse 28. Notice this is what they suggested. Do you remember it? Remember what they said? They said, "Well, what? We'd rather we just die in the wilderness." Well, guess what? You will. They themselves suggested their own punishment. Let me give you, by way of just a sidelight, let us learn to bridle our tongue when we know ourselves to be in a state of dangerous unbelief, because God is listening. They said we should have just died in the wilderness, and God said, "So be it. You will die in the wilderness." But not only that, I want you to notice in the following verses that the judgment of God is always exact and never arbitrary. Verse 34, "After the number of the days which you searched out the land,
40 days, each day for a year, shall ye bear your iniquities 40 years. God's justice is never random. It is always exact. Israel looked at the land for 40 days, and God said, 40 years you'll wander. 1 year for every day. My friend, what a price. Oh, what a price. If they had only known there were going to be 1 year for every single day. And oh, if I could apply that to our hearts this morning. Oh, if we can only understand the cost when we turn against God. If we could only understand the cost, how great it is. Dr. R.G. Lee preached, this is the price I pay for just one righteous day. Years of regret and grief and sorrow without relief. Suffer it I will, my friend. Suffer it until the end, until the grave shall give relief. Small was the thing I bought. Small was the thing at best. Small was the debt I thought. But oh God, the interest. The interest. When we sin, when we turn from the Lord, the price. Children, hear me. You have your whole life before you. Don't spend one day against the Lord. It'll cost you in years. God said to Moses, tell them in verse 38, tell them what I said. And in verse 39, he did. So what'll they do now? Oh, surely they'll rush out and repent. Surely they'll obey the Lord. The Lord said, tell them they're going to stay 40 years in the wilderness. Now I want you to turn this army around. I want you to turn them and go by the Red Sea and go that way back out in the wilderness. And Moses told them. And what do you think they said? Do you think they said, well, Lord, yes. Well, let's obey the Lord now. We haven't obeyed yet, but we're going to obey now. Let's turn and obey the Lord. You think that's what they did? No, I'm afraid not. They said, no, we're going to go in now. I think we're just going to follow the Lord and go on in. Let's just go on in and take the land. No, it's too late now. Oh, hear this. Delayed obedience is disobedience. Did you hear that? Delayed obedience is disobedience. It's too late now. No, you're not going in there now. God has said what you must do now. And still they rebel. They still will not obey. And they will die. The Lord, Moses said, don't go in there. Don't go in there. The Lord is not going to be with you. My friends, this morning, the greatest tragedy in our apostasy, the greatest tragedy about our disobedience to the Lord is that He will not be with us. He was not to be with them. He said, I'll not be with them. Don't go. Don't go. Verse 41, Moses said, wherefore now do you transgress the commandment of the Lord as it were again? I mean, He's told us what to do. Turn and go this way and you won't do it. But He says, listen, it shall not prosper. Go up! Go not up, for the Lord is not among you. That you be not smitten before your enemies. But they didn't listen. They went anyway. And guess what? God killed a bunch of them. And the rest of them will die in the wilderness. Listen. Fear and repentance ought to be brought to our hearts reading this text this morning. It should produce in every regenerate heart repentance and fear lest we disobey God. Oh, may God grant us to learn from this text this morning. Learn the folly of Israel and grant us to turn and obey the Lord. For disobedience is surely destruction. They didn't listen. And many of them died.
You don't have to test it, children. You don't have to check. You don't have to test sin. You don't have to experiment. There's plenty of adults in this room right here that can give you witness, first-hand witness. It always pays in destruction. You don't have to test it. It always pays in destruction. So Israel didn't obey. And they died in the wilderness. Oh, may God help us and give us repentance. Turn with me, if you will, please.